Praise God. You got your seatbelts on? I'm about ready to launch about a 300-yard drive here. You enjoying this series so far?
Yes.
Series, The Promises of Christmas. Sometimes we Christmas has taken on a whole different meaning other than what God intended, and people feel under pressure. They feel like they're in the strife involved, and families coming together, and nobody agrees, and everybody wish they didn't come. And it's just terrible stuff. It's time to celebrate a life. I mean, we celebrate Christmas once a year, but we celebrate the birth of Jesus in our hearts every single day of the year. And Laura and we give all year, really. So Christmas is kind of a slow time for us. But but it's still meaningful because the meaning of Christmas is so pure and so genuine and real. So and there's promises attached with Christmas. Last week we talked about the promise of redemption. This week we're talking about the promise of new beginnings. How many of you could use a new start, a new beginning? That's everybody's hands should be up there. Turn with me to Isaiah 43. And, every time we open up the Word, we're looking right into the very heart of God. These words came from His heart. They were spoken by God first. These were not written by God's pen. They were spoken from His mouth to a prophet and a group of prophets. And they were spoken so it could be written, so it could be spoken by you. Doesn't do you any good unless you speak it. Amen? So every time we open the Word, we are looking into the heart of our Father. We're looking into the face of Jesus. Jesus spoke these words, and these words cast out demons and healed people. Be healed, He said. Leper said, "Will you? If you will, you can heal me." He says, "Of course, I will. Be healed." And so we see that this word is eternal. It is active, and it is just as active now as it was then. In His word is the revealed knowledge of the unseen. That's good. So let's declare this together. This word is God speaking to me. This word is God's life being imparted to me. This word is God's incorruptible seed being planted in me. This word is God's authority being delegated to me. This word is God's blessing overtaking me. This word is God's ability empowering me. This word is God's power guiding me. This word is God's power of salvation to me. This word is God accomplishing in me that which pleases Him. This word is God speaking to me. And so God is speaking. We're reading from the New King James here. And Isaiah 43, verse 18 says, "Do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert." You know, one thing that I've learned about God over the years, and you can know something, but then you can know something. You know what I mean? And God, He will never tell us to do something that He's not willing to do, or that He hasn't already done, or that He's promised that He will do. He won't command us to do something that He wouldn't expect from Himself. And He wouldn't command us to do something that we could not do. Let's try that again. He will not command us to do what we cannot do. Amen. So what does that mean? That means the ability to do what he said to do is intrinsic in his word. That word is designed to fulfill itself in you. He will not ask you to do something that you cannot do. Boy, that's big. You got to write that one down. He will not impose something on me that he will not hold himself accountable for. If he holds you to something, this is why when Peter said to Jesus, he said, how often should my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times? Jesus said, I say not seven times, but 70 times seven. In other words, if you're counting, you miss the point. If you're counting, that says a lot about you. This is a lifestyle. It's a lifestyle. Now, here's the liberating part of that verse. God will not hold you to account of anything he doesn't hold himself to account for. If he asks you to forgive unlimited amount of time, he holds himself to forgive you every time. If he didn't forgive you of a sin that you came to him and confessed to him and say, I've sinned, forgive me, please wash me of this sin and cleanse me from the unrighteousness of it. I don't want that to linger in my mind. If he didn't wash you and forgive you, he would be an unjust God because he's faithful and just to forgive you of your sins. Just put that in your pipe and smoke it. It's a peace pipe. Everything God has told us to do, he will do and has done. He holds himself as the standard of that very thing that he told you to do. Look at the Ten Commandments. He's holding himself to that. Look at the Sermon on the Mount. He's holding himself to that. That wasn't just delivered to you. That's reflecting who God is. And there's liberty. If God asks you to walk an extra mile, don't you think he's already willing to go an extra mile with you? A lot of us can't do that because we didn't do the first thing in that scripture. Let's go to Isaiah 43 again. Don't remember the former things. Don't remember the former things nor consider the things of old. Forget about it. Forget about it. Like the mafia, remember? Forget about it. You know, that's the one thing God will do you to tell you to bring an agreement with the mafia. Forget about it. Forget about it. Forget about it. Forget about it and don't consider it. Don't keep on rolling it around in your mind. Don't keep on dwelling on it. Don't let it spin you any longer. That's your mind. It's not the devil's mind. It's yours. You are the one who is responsible. It says you cast down imaginations. You bring every thought into the obedience of the anointing. You do that. You have control over your mind. That's good news. Because it's no longer a battlefield for the enemy to just walk through anytime he wants to. That's your mind. And we can retrain it, we can renew it, and we can be transformed by it too. Amen. And then he says this, behold, I will do a new thing. You want a new beginning in your life? Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the... There is no roads in the wilderness. No, you had to... Nowadays, they could blast the thing with dynamite and everything and with a lot of effort maybe pave something through it, but who wants to go there? I will make a road in the wilderness. The wilderness stands for confusion, valley, tests and trials, hardship, lack, danger, unfamiliar environment. That's confusion. That's what wilderness is. It's confusion. It's anything in your life that feeling like you've missed out on something. That can lead you right into the wilderness. If you missed it, you missed it. You got a whole future in front of you. Put your eyes there. Amen. Forget the former things and don't consider the old things. Don't consider the things of old. Says here that God's going to do something new. Amen. That means it's not been before. Something new is something that has never existed before. Isn't that good? Now, I'm not telling you this so you can get all somber about the things in the past and everything. No, get excited about what God's going to do. Get excited for the new thing that's coming. Shall you not know it? Look, he says, I'll make a road in the wilderness. Do not remember a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. There's no water in a desert. When you even think of a desert, the only image that comes into your mind is death. Death, dry, thirsty. I mean, there's nothing there. You ever been in a desert before, a dry place? I sure have. That's when the Word of God becomes an effort just to open the Bible, rather than a filling station where you can come and get the oil changed, get your tank filled up, get those windshield wiper things filled up, and get the whole thing. You know, this is, some of you need some windshield wipers on your eyes to clean those up too. He'll do a new thing. He'll make a river in the desert. A desert is a desert because there's no water there. God doesn't need any natural things to coincide with him. He doesn't need your understanding in order for it to make it happen. He just said it'll happen. He says, I'm doing it. And if there's a desert place in your life, a place that's dry, that has never been free before, boom, get ready for the gusher because the new is coming. He has established himself as the worker of new things, the completer of new things, the initiator of new things. And he says, forget about the old. Get rid of it. Get your mind renewed. Get your vision. Go to Dwight. Your imagination is your capacity to take the thoughts of God and make them real in your life. Amen. And to capture you. And it's not to give you some kind of a fairy tale. Fairy tales were invented because we want those things. But God is a real God. And it may sound like a fairy tale. And people think, yeah, it's just a fairy tale. It's not a fairy tale when God speaks it. It's going to be new. And it's going to be good. And it's going to be pure and lovely. It's going to be truth and honesty. It's going to be great. And something that cannot be undone or touched by the enemy. And no man can gainsay it. Because it's founded in God. I'll make rivers in the desert. Do you know why Israel had 40 years in the wilderness? Because God could deliver Israel from Egypt, but he couldn't get Egypt out of them. Why? Because they were looking back. They said, oh, if we only had the leeks and garlics. What? God was giving them manna. Quail were flying out of the sky in front of them, and all they had to do is pick it up and cook it. And they were so, oh, if we only had the leeks and garlic. You know what leeks are? Those smelly onions? Yeah. Don't settle for onions. Don't look back, because that's all that's there. Stinko. And the garlic? We were talking about that Friday night at the Christmas party. We had a lot of garlic bread. And when I came in here, I was almost expecting to smell like a lingering thing. But we have an excellent clean team, and they sprayed this whole place down, sanitized it and everything. And it takes some effort to get rid of garlic. Yeah. But if there's a dry place, don't look at the Bible as being some kind of an effort, some kind of a task that you have to do. No, you get to. It's a gift to you. You get to do this. You get to see God turn that thing from a task into a creative force in your life, into a freeing force. It's a force that will absolutely bury your past. I got to get animated about it. Bury your past. Have a funeral. Have a funeral for that thing. Get rid of it. And don't look at it. Don't dwell on it. Have a funeral. Ship it off. Have a Viking funeral. Burn the thing. You know what I mean? Just burn the thing. Get it out of your life. It doesn't belong to you. You shouldn't steal things that don't belong to you. The Bible says don't steal. This is not an arduous task. This is a whistle bridge that's bringing you to someplace else. This is something good. There's lack, isolation, void of life-giving resources. Where are you looking? Are you looking at the past? Because if you are, you're putting yourself right in the as the star of the show. You can't take credit for the good things in your past, and you can't take credit for the bad things. If you're in covenant with God, He's already assumed responsibility for all of it. That may sound like too good to be true, but that's what gospel actually means. If you've hung around Andrew Womack for any length of time, you know that gospel literally means, it's only used a few times in the literary Greek outside of the, and it means the too good to be true news, but it is anyhow. That's what gospel means. The too good to be true news, but it is anyhow. It is true. Why? Because God spoke it. It's God's story. It's His news. And His news is the best news you'll ever hear. Amen. And there's no limitations on it. There's no caveats. There's no conditions to it. Some of the promises have conditions, but not to His grace. All you have to do is believe it. It is of faith that it might be of grace. Amen. Faith gets the ball rolling. I'm just going to read the Message translation of Isaiah 43, 18 and 19. He says this, "Forget about what's happened. Don't keep going over old history. Be alert. Be present." Oh, be present. Be in the present moment. "I'm about to do something brand new. It's bursting out. Don't you see it? There it is. I'm making a road through the desert. I'm making rivers in the Badlands." You ever see Badlands? Oh, nothing there. "It's bursting out." So the number one thing we need to do, if you want to experience a new beginning that God has promised to all who believe in Him, number one, you forget about the past. Forget about it. It's done. There's nothing you can do about it. But there's a lot the blood can do about it. It already has. It's washed it away. Don't keep mulling over old history. Don't dwell there. Forget about it. And by the way, this is a command, and He wouldn't command you to do anything that you can't do.
Right.
And He's not willing, He's not commanding you anything to do that you can't get His help. He is a present help in the time of need. Put His word to work for you. Oh. Think about that for a moment. There goes my Bible. Think about that. Think about how God sees you, how He sees that problem. You hear what Benita said? It's a piece of cake. Unless that's you're looking at it and you're consumed with it, and that's all you don't dwell on old history. Don't dwell on it. Forget about it. Forget it. Forget it. It forget. Whatever you got to do to get rid of it, just get rid of it. Just forget about it. It occurs to me just now, too, that God wouldn't tell you to forget about something that He wouldn't forget about Himself. Will He forget your sin?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Will He remember it no more? Absolutely. He holds Himself to the same standard. So if He remembers your sin no more, why are you bringing it up in your mind? He knows what's going on in your mind. When he sees all of that busyness in your mind, he's taken as well. That's your right to do that and to miss out on everything God has for you, but why would you want to do that? I mean, that's dumb squared. Or to the third power, cubed. Woo, glory to God. Ah. Oh. I mean, that's one dumb reproduces itself and reproduces itself. So get rid of the dumb. Oh, praise God. You know, Paul got this. Paul got this in Philippians 3. He said, forgetting those things that are behind and reaching forth. Boy, I'm telling you something. One thing that will help you forget about the past is to keep reaching forward. Just keep reaching forward. Get a vision for something bigger than you, bigger than your path, bigger than all that, and get something and start reaching for it. Start getting something in motion. You know, God can't even steer a parked car. You got to get something in motion, and it all starts right up here. Right up here in the place of the skull. Golgotha, where the greatest battles are won. Right up here. Decide to decide. Forgetting those things which are behind. And Paul had a lot to forget about. He had to forget that he was Saul of Tarsus. Did you ever murder a Christian? Don't raise your hand. Did you ever kill a Christian? Did you? No, I guess not. No hands went up. I told you not to anyways. But even if you did, could God undo that? He did it because he undid everything that Satan ever did in Saul of Tarsus. When the power of God hit that grave and Jesus came alive and Jesus said, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And there is evidence here where Paul brought that up to the Lord. And the Lord didn't even acknowledge that he even said anything about it. Because Paul was talking about something that didn't even exist. It's gone. Why? It didn't exist. That's right, didn't exist. The blood wiped it out. And all the memory banks of heaven went through and deleted every murder. Every time he tried to compel somebody to blaspheme before they were executed. This guy, Saul of Tarsus, was a monster. And looking back, he had a lot to get rid of. But you know what? His life is a testimony to the fact that no matter what you've done, where you've been, how it's been going for you, is gone. You can't get it back, and God covered it up totally. Cleansed you from all of it. And he himself took responsibility for it. And there's nothing the devil can do to accuse God. That blood was a just payment that settled the scales in heaven. Now God was free to forgive and deal with you based on his mercy and not according to judgment. Boy, this is good. You got to get out in front of this thing like Paul did. He says, I reach forth to the things that are before and I press towards the mark of the prize of the high calling of Christ, God in Christ Jesus. If you're filled with the past, it's going to hinder your progress going forward. You can empty yourself of the past. You're a new creation. God made you that way. God said you're that way. God treats you that way. You know, you got to get out and take the lead on this thing and get out in front of the narrative. You know, unless you're the lead dog in a sled team, your view doesn't change. I'm not going to explain that. I I'll just say it again. Unless you're the lead dog in the sled team, your view will never change. You got to get out in front of this thing and you got to lead it. That's about the nicest way I can put that. Get ahead of the game. Yes, remember that bond thing that we showed? It says it's time that we get out in front. We've been one step behind this guy all the time. Now it's time to get out in front. Change the game. Get out in front. This is what David did in Psalm 103. He said, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all, every bit, all that's in me. Bless his holy name. Bless his holy. Bless the Lord, O my soul." What's he doing? He is talking to his mind and his emotions and say, get in the blessing lane. Don't get ripped off anymore. Don't allow the devil to give you some kind of a narrative that is anything less than God has called you to be. Bless the Lord, you soul, you emotions, you mind. Bless the Lord with every thought, with everything that's in you. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Bless his holy name. Life opposes you. Get back on track by taking authority over your soul and talk to your soul. And say, bless the Lord. I command my soul. This is your mind. It's not the devil's mind. This is your mind. It belongs to you. God created it in you. It doesn't belong to the devil. Amen. Get back on track. Start with your thoughts. How do you do that? You start injecting God's thoughts. All of these are God's thoughts towards you. He said, he says, fear not. For I've redeemed you. I've called you by your name. You're mine. When you walk through the waters, they will not overflow, and through the rivers, they will not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you won't be burned. Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego know that story. You won't be burned. Neither shall the flame kindle upon you, for I am the Lord your God. Boy. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Where are you looking? Are you looking at your problems? Are you looking at the negativity, the attitudes, everything, other people's opinions of you? Where are you looking? Are you looking at the benefits? Forget not all his benefits. Forget not means to remember. Even I know that. Blinding flash of the obvious. Bless the Lord and forget not all his benefits. What are some of those benefits? Forgiveness, healing, redemption, and all the benefits of redemption. A crown. Look at this. Who forgives all your iniquities. Amen. You know, you may feel like you're so rooted in sin sometimes. You're listening to the wrong guy. Listen to the man, Jesus Christ, who sits at the right hand of God, mediating the new covenant, who is your apostle and high priest of what you say. Listen to him. Get his counsel. Who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases. You know, there are so many diseases that they call psychosomatic. That doesn't mean they're real. That means they begin in your mind. By a mind that is plagued with guilt. A mind that is plagued with condemnation. A mind that is plagued with negativity. That only stores up and has bad attitudes towards everything and everybody. And negativity. And people smell it. There's a scent. Or there's an odor to it. A scent would be good. But that has an odor to it. And people don't want to be around that. You don't want to be around that. All your diseases, all. That includes COVID-19, Delta, and Omni, whatever that is. I just say whatever, because you know what? It doesn't matter. He redeems, he heals all your diseases. Who redeems your life from destruction. I'm talking about destructive behavior, destructive thoughts, destructive attitudes, destructive opinions of who you are. that opinions that are not of God, opinions that don't really matter in heaven. It's not true. It's not pure. It's not lovely. It's not honest. It's not just. If you're in problems like that, well, you're not thinking of things on the list. Redeems your life from destruction. That means all of the benefits of redemption work together in you to deliver you from any kind of destruction that this world could bring you. Who crowns you with loving kindness and tenderness. This is a crown of authority, rule, and royal privilege. The devil might say, well, you assume too much, don't you? Has he ever come like that, say, that's a little too high for you, that bar's a little too high for you? No, this is royal privilege. He crowns me with mercy and loving kindness. He crowns me. This is a coronation. This is where the angels are blasting trumpets and you're walking down to be coronated with a royal privilege of being absolutely free to bless the Lord. Who satisfies your mouth with good things so that, oh, this is a good verse, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Now, what is it? Satisfies my mouth with good things. This is angel food cake. This is heavenly food. This is the manna from heaven that's going in, and it's the word that's coming out, coming in and going out. You're blessed coming in, you're blessed going out. Yeah! So his word comes in. It doesn't depart from your eyes. You incline your ear into his sayings. You keep it in the midst of your heart. You take it in, and then you speak it out. You take it in, and you speak it out. You take it in, and your youth will be renewed like the eagles. I think the guys get a kick out of it when I hit a really good long drive, and I say, not bad for 70. How about that, Jacob? Yeah, I hit a good one. So I've got it. My youth was renewed like the eagles. I love that. Say, I'm blessed.
Blessed.
Coming in.
Coming in.
And I'm blessed.
And blessed.
Going out.
Going out.
Lying down and rising up.
Down and rising up.
Coming in and going out.
Coming in and out.
I'm blessed.
I'm blessed.
He said so.
He said so.
So soul.
So soul.
Bless the Lord.
Bless the Lord.
All that is within me. Bless the Lord.
Bless the Lord.
Oh, this is good. There's lots of things, and I could go on in that scripture for till 2 weeks over into the millennium, I think. But let him forgive you. Let him heal you. Let him redeem your life from destruction, and let him crown you with mercy and loving kindness. And let him do that because he has hungered and thirsted to do that for a long time. This heart-mouth connection, Jesus couldn't let that go. You need to interrupt the narrative that the devil is putting in your mind, that the world is putting in your mind, that you may be susceptible to or have been in the past, but you don't know how to get rid of it. You need to get up and interrupt it. Jesus did that. Turn to John chapter 7, 37. And it says this. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believes in me, as the scripture said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. This happened. He was interrupting a religious tradition. He was interrupting something because this was the last day of the feast. And they would carry a golden cistern from the pool of Siloam. They would carry this water and they would dump it over this altar. But the last day, to signify the Messiah, they would turn over the cistern and there'd be no water. Empty, and the crowd was listening. That's when Jesus stood up and cried with a loud voice and said, "If any man come, if he's thirsty, let him come to me and drink." I'll tell you, he knew how to interrupt a narrative and to get the attention where it should be. And he wasn't saying, "Put your eyes on me." He was saying, "Look, believe, believe. This is what I was sent. If you believe, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes shall not perish, but have everlasting life. For he came not to condemn the world, but that through him the world might be saved." And he stood up as a light in the darkness of that moment. And he just stood up and told them who he was, what he wanted to do, and where he wanted to bring them. Jesus, he knew how to stand up. When that narrative is trying to take you down, stand up and interrupt it. Just saying, "I am who God says I am. I am a new creation in Christ. All things have passed away, the old way of thinking, the old way of looking at myself. I'm looking at myself the way God looks at me, more than a conqueror. And I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me." Paul could do that. I can do that. If a gutter-ridden, lousy murderer like Saul of Tarsus could do that, I can do that. I can do it. And I will do it. And I'm standing in that truth concerning what he has said about me. It's mine to do. It's given to me by God. And there are no limitations on it other than what I put on it. And I take those limitations off. You hearing me? Are you hearing me? Are you hearing this? Is this God speaking to you? Is this God's life being imparted to you? Is this God's incorruptible seed being planted in you? Is this God's authority being delegated to you? Oh, interrupt. So number one is forget the past. Just forget it. It hadn't done you any good so far. You might as well just get rid of it. Get and then interrupt that narrative. Interrupt it. This is the traffic of the soul. And it's a system that God created us with, and the devil took advantage through it through the corruption of the old creature, the sin nature that we had. But we have a new nature. We have the life of God. You know what? If you have a disease in your body, I'm telling you something, the resurrection power of God is inches from that thing. Ready to pounce on it, lambano, seize it and grip it and rip it out of your life. See, it's going. Number one, forget about it. Then the devil tries to knock on the door again, interrupt it with the truth. And number three is, in it as if it's real. Romans 4:17 says this, "As it is written," this is what you need to tell the devil. What did Jesus do in the wilderness? "It is written, it is written." If you're in the wilderness and you need a road in the wilderness, this is it. It's the written word of God. It's the road out. It's the exodus. It's the way out. "As it is written," the written word of God is everything. "As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God who quickens the dead and calls those things which be not as though they were." God said this to Abraham when he was changing his name from Abram to Abraham. He didn't even have a son, and he said Abraham, which means father of many nations. He didn't have a son. He didn't have an heir. He had nothing to look forward to. He had a wife who was barren. And he's 99 years old at this point. Gentlemen, you know. You understand? This had to be God, man. It had to be God. So but this is for us. Why is this in the Bible? It's the principle of calling things which be not as though they were. Why? Because that's what God does. Why? Because that's what faith does. And God is a God of faith. He speaks faith. When he speaks, it's like it already had been done. Why? Because he's, when he was just him and Sarah, he said, I've made you, I've turned you from exalted father into father of many nations. I have made you this. He hadn't made anything yet. Did he? What has God in those dreams that you've had, in those visions that you've had in your mind of you and what you're going to do in God, what has he promised you? What has he said to you? Did you know if you walk in those things as if they were a reality, then you will walk and they will become a reality to you? That's what faith does. Boy, Kelly, it was right with that scripture, this or that prophecy this morning that said, look, start little. Start with the little bridges. You'll make it to the big bridges. When you get to the big bridges, you get to that place where you need to be, that wealthy place that God has for you. Getting anything today? It doesn't matter your age. The devil that's a big one. He comes, you're too old, man. You're going to do. I was 65 years old when we started this church. And I wasn't looking to start a church. We weren't looking to start a church. We didn't even have that. I mean, that wasn't even a raindrop in my brain. It was nothing. It just kind of happened. And we said, wow, okay. And then we went from a gymnasium to a little other room, and the kids were meeting out in the hallway. I felt horrible about this. And then Sherry gets the vision. She was going to a really nice church, large children's ministry and everything, and God told her to come. I am so grateful. Yeah. You need to be grateful too, because those kids are learning the things that they need to be learning. Building into them these principles that they know they can call things with their whole future. They can declare their future now through their words, through believing God, what God said, and declaring their own future. And when they do that, God will just add the blessing. He'll build them up. Their character will be there. Their integrity will be there. Their attitudes will be right. I mean, every kid has problems with that. I mean, you don't have to teach a kid how to lie. He already knows. You understand? But these are corrective things, and God works with us. It's 20 past lunch, so I got to get going here. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations. When God speaks to you, when you look into the Word of God, you're looking into God's pointer, where He wants to bring you. What He says is already true in God's mind. So when you walk according to it, you're walking on something that is more solid than the ground that you are standing on. It is more real than you are because God spoke it. God said it. Brother Hagin, he wrote that on the inside of his Bible. He said, God said it. I believe it. That settles it. He was a little kid. And you know what? That word became flesh and dwelt in him, lifted him up off of that bed of affliction. It became a ministry. And then it became a worldwide ministry. Then it became books and tapes and things that just went out through all the world. And people are still, he's been with the Lord since 2003. He's been dead for 18 years. And still people are getting saved, healed, and delivered from his ministry. And from those who have carried it on and made it even greater than he did. Praise God. Number one. Forget about it. Amen. Number two, interrupt and start speaking of things which be not as though they were. Amen? Amen. Say that. Number one, forget about it. Number two, interrupt the narrative. Number three, call things which be not as though they were. Father, we thank you for your word. We declare your word in this world. We release its power now in our own lives, in our minds, that we have the ability to hear the word, the eternal words of God, our Father. And through your word, we can see the face of Jesus. We can be the hands of Jesus. Because we are equipped to cancel out everything that the devil has planned against us, in us, that has based, that he has felt he had permission to do. But those days are over and that door is closed and the doors of heaven are open. The windows of heaven are open to us because we have a God who's on our side. We have a Father who loves us. We have the face of Jesus Christ. The face that keeps telling us we can do it. We can call light to shine in the midst of darkness. We have the right and the power and the authorization to do that. And I call light to shine in our minds right now, to illuminate us with the things of heaven, to inspire us, to encourage us, and to bring us to that place that you have prepared for us when you had us in mind. Thank you, Father. Lord, we lift these things up to you in Jesus' name. We are inspired and we are equipped. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 You are dismissed. If you can get up, go ahead and do it. I'll tell you something. There's food prepared in the cafe that's beyond your expectations, your ability to ask or even think.